Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry. And this was given to Joseph Hitchcock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message today is for those who want to really get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm sharing a message on Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, starting in verse 8. "For by grace you are saved through faith. That is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The word boast in Strong's is from an obsolete base, but it means to boast or to vaunt in a good or bad sense, to take glory in, to be joyful or rejoice. There is no room for boasting because we were all trapped in our sins, serving the devil. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we read. This is the book of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Verse 2. "Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." God takes pride, in a good sense, in his own workmanship, in rescuing all those who cry out to him because of the consequences of sin or the works of the devil. We read in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Peter was led by the Spirit to refer to the book of Joel because this scripture was fulfilled through the kingdom of God that came on the day of Pentecost. We read in Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. "And it came to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." God's plan is to help those who are being overcome by sin and the devil through the work of Jesus on the cross. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The promise in Joel is for those in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. But Paul also said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." The promises of God are not obtained by just repeating a prayer. The promises are for those that admit there is nothing good in them and come to Mount Zion to live by grace through faith. The devil will help you fulfill the lust of the flesh so that he can control you. You need to admit that you secretly desired something you wanted that the devil offered you. The kingdom of God has been here since the day of Pentecost for everyone who needs God's help. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 9 to 11, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 9. I am the door, and by me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus promised abundant life based on entering in through the narrow way. Jesus is the gate to the sheepfold, and he is Lord. The shepherd will lead you out and keep you safe. The sheepfold provides some protection. Those who use their own minds have already believed lies. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. This is the book of Galatians chapter 6. Starting in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You will reap quickly the consequences of sin if you believe lies and ignore the bad fruit in your life. You need to rescue yourself through repentance before it's too late. Paul said to those on the narrow way in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power. Verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Did you gladly receive the word and take the offer by grace through faith, and get on the narrow way? Did you confess and repent of the lies that you are believing, following the lust of your own flesh and deceiving yourself? You would have faced the truth and conviction on the narrow way. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The religious Jews were all attending the feast of Pentecost and woke up and realized they missed the Lord's coming when they had heard Peter's message. They cried out to Peter for help. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 37 to 42. I'm reading. This is the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting in verse 37. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify, exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You cannot save yourself by getting baptized or by doing any Christian activities. Only by getting to know God and obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will you be saved. There is no excuse for not doing what God has planned for your life, since the kingdom of God is here now. Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, And the times of this ignorance winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Everyone should work out their own salvation in fear and trembling. You will miss the first resurrection if you do not enter the kingdom, and you will face the tribulation. There is no exception. Jesus said to the Jews in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 44, And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. If you are still Lord of your life and making excuses based on all the ministry and good works that you have done, then you will get crushed by reaping the consequences of your sin. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul was preaching that Jesus is Lord, and that he was hearing the voice of the Lord and serving the church. If you're not functioning with Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you are still blind. You may appear more righteous than someone born again with open sin in their life. But if you are still using your mind to make decisions, you are still lost. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 39 to 41. I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 9, starting in verse 39. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they that see might be made blind. Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Verse 41. And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains. Those coming to the feast of Pentecost were devout Jews. They were blinded by their religious activities and even killed the Messiah. They woke up before it was too late. Some church leaders believe that they will not end up in hell trusting in the finished work of Christ. But John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you want to stop sinning, then you must put to death the carnal nature. You let God decide what is priority, starting with conviction of sin and repentance. James said in James chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18, of his own he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. People do not believe everything good comes from God, so they do what they think is needed in life instead, without waiting on God. However, those who have repented of dead works can rejoice, because through the word of truth they are no longer blind. Daily conviction and repentance are a sign that God is at work and the new creation in Christ has begun. You do not change yourselves. You must respond to conviction. A dead work is any work, good or bad, that the Holy Spirit did not tell you to do. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 2 to 4, I'm reading. This is the book of Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works patience. Verse 4. And patience experience, and experience hope. Your hope should be based on the tribulation you are going through now on the narrow way. God is doing the work in you and allowing things that he could easily prevent in his power. Our hope of salvation is not based on a born-again experience, but on the fact that Christ is being formed in us. He is the architect of everything good, and if he's doing a work in us, we will not be left behind. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verses 1 to 5. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. The word elect in Strong's is number 1588. It comes from another word which means to select, by implication, favorite or chosen. The elect are those who are being changed into a vessel of honor that he can use for his purpose by the Spirit, making us profitable to God. God is above temptation or corruption, so he has no favorites based on social standing. You determine what you experience from God by how much you resist change. When you start repenting, he gives you more conviction because you are faithfully responding to his word. We read in Matthew chapter 18, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 13. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, rejoice more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Verse 14. Even so, it's not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. There'll be no mistakes when God is doing the work in you. Because you repented and humble yourself, you get his help. Stay humble and you get more. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. You were designed to live by grace through faith, not just seek a miracle when you're in trouble or need healing. If you obey the gospel and repent, you get blessed. Blessings always come through obedience. Curses come through disobedience. Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with the living God. Salvation by grace through faith is not something that can be added on top of your busy, money-driven lifestyle. Many see Christianity as an insurance policy against hell, so that they can go on doing what they want and still make heaven. This is a lie that came from someone who did not want to believe the truth and had to deceive others as well. Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, verses 21 and 22. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 21. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that all that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. God will decide what changes are needed for you to be saved. If you're depending on your money, then how will you be made perfect in Christ? Do you want to be comfortable now or perfect when Jesus appears? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You cannot serve God and money on the narrow way. Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell everything he had, and he would get riches in heaven. The rich young ruler turned down an amazing offer just because he loved the world. What will you reject because of something you are holding on to in this world? God is responsible for any changes he requires by grace. God is no man's debtor. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. If you believe it is possible to be perfect, then your priorities will change as well. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God has organized the works for you to do in this life, and by his grace you can do them, and doing them will glorify his name. He does not need your money. You cannot have the glory that comes from being the architect or completing the work, because you are not able to finish what he started. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because you are submitted, he can demonstrate his goodness through you. And he will also honor you as well. That glory belongs to God because only he can handle it and not get puffed up. Man was not designed to receive the glory in this life, but to serve. Paul says in Romans chapter 9 and verse 23, that he might be made known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. God can even use your biggest mistakes to demonstrate his abundant mercy and grace. The more you mess up, then the greater glory he gets when you repent and finally make Jesus Lord and submit. He can do something quickly too, although it might involve some suffering for a period of time, especially if you have a high calling. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 11, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Regular correction comes through conviction when you're submitted to the Lord, but also through someone who is genuinely following Christ. Start by denying yourself daily and take up your cross daily. Stay on the narrow way, or you'll be tempted by the devil to do something in the flesh. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, I'm reading. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He can help all those who humble themselves, confess, and repent of their own lordship. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 6 to 9. I'm reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, starting in verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we are all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, attempts like the wind, have taken us away. Verse 7. And there is none that calls upon thy name, that stirs up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and has consumed us because of our iniquities. Verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hand. Verse 9. Be not angry or very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are thy people. God can use anyone for a purpose, because he is Lord. If you harden your heart, he can still use you like Pharaoh, but this is not for an honorable purpose. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You are responsible for purging yourself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, and verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway here is number 96 in Strong's. It comes from another word, means unapproved, that is rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally a castaway, rejected or reprobate. The same word reprobate is translated as rejected based on bad fruit. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 7. For the earth which drinks in the rain that comes often upon it and brings forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessings from God. Verse 8. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. God can do a miracle through you if you're reaching out to those who need grace and mercy and call on his name. But make sure you produce the right fruit yourselves. Otherwise, you could be a castaway. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. This is Romans chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The Jews were the ones who should have been helping the rest of the world, bearing the right fruit. The law was given to help the Jews repent and come to the truth. God's plan is that the meek will rule. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Those who are meek embrace repentance, but the religious leaders of Jesus' time chose to make doctrines of men and not endure correction. So the gospel went to the Gentiles, who would repent and trust in his grace. We read in Matthew chapter 21, verses 42 to 43. This is Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 42. And Jesus said unto them, "Did you ever read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes." Verse 43. "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." The Jews were already hardening their hearts, even when the judgments of God were increasing in the Old Testament. We read in Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. I'm starting in verse 1. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, verse 2, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Verse 3. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." Verse 4. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it." Verse 5. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," verse 6, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." The ones he can best use are the ones who are soft and trust in the promises of mercy and endure correction rather than trust in what they know. We read in the book of Acts chapter 10, verses 10 to verse 16 I'm reading. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 10, starting in verse 10. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Verse 11. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth. Verse 12. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Verse 13. And there came a voice to him, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 14. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Verse 15. And the voice spake unto him again, saying the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Verse 16. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God can speak to us through dreams and visions when we are not hearing clearly. Peter did not understand the purpose of the trance until later, when the Spirit fell on all the Gentiles seeking God. Time had run out for the Jews, and it was God's plan to use the Gentiles through the gospel. Peter was teachable. He allowed all the gospel writers to record his mistakes based on misdirected faith and ignorance. This was why God used him so much in the early part of the church. Paul said in Romans chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. This is Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. God has an order, and you may not be his first choice, but you will get a chance after someone else did not do what they were supposed to do. Judas Iscariot was replaced. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, For many are called, but few are chosen. You may be less talented and not perfectly suited to the task, but whoever God calls, he uses and prepares. The grace of God is sufficient for the calling he gives you, no matter how sinful you were before you came to Christ, because the same price was paid for everyone. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm reading verses 3 all the way to verse 10. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Verse 6. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Verse 7. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul went from the chief of sinners and became an apostle by the grace of God. It was not because he was educated in the Jewish religion, It was based on God's grace because he repented from dead works and began following Christ immediately by the Spirit. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." You are not qualified to make the right decisions about your life and calling. You must learn just to listen, trust, and obey instead. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm reading verses 11 and 12. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." Verse 12, "that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." The work in you can only be finished when he is Lord, because he does the work. If you delay another day making him Lord, then you delay the work to be completed. If necessary, desperate measures may be required. He can also add his grace as well, but only if you will accept the correction. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. This is Genesis chapter 1. I'm reading verse 27. "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." At creation, man had a link to God, so he could be an image of God. He was like a mint with a hole in it. He was not created perfect or complete in that sense. Man was designed with a human spirit, to be filled by God's thoughts through hearing his voice. Man's role was to represent and serve God to ensure that the earth manifested God's glory, devil or no devil. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." When God created the animals, he saw that it was good. But God didn't say that directly after creating man. Man was set over all because he created man differently. He created the highest ranking of all his creation to trust in him, to function in love through him. This role was an honoring of man so that man could fulfill the purpose of God and glorify God and bring God's blessings to the rest of creation through serving. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 to 31. I'm reading the book of Genesis now, chapter 1, starting in verse 28. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Verse 29. "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, so you it shall be for meat." Verse 30. "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so." Verse 31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God created mankind, and he knows our needs and our full potential. He created a rich garden. There was just one garden, the Garden of Eden, that was like a paradise. The rest of the earth would have appeared like a wilderness in comparison with God's input and design. Adam was told to be fruitful and multiply. Man just had to multiply what he saw in the garden over a period of time. God gave man the perfect garden. Garden of Eden was like a show house that Adam could refer to and see how all creation was working together. God did not want sin to be multiplied. Adam could have planted the same paradise over all the earth in a short time with God's help and with no irrigation. We read in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In the new earth, where righteousness dwells, every living creature will be in harmony, supplying what was supposed to be supplied to each other. There will be no need for rivers. The paradise God creates will not need irrigation or massive rivers. The sea was given to help man keep the earth clean because of the waste he creates using his own mind." We read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19. This is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19. "And out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." God used Adam to name all the animals, and he may have seen God create the animals in front of him. Adam was not using his own mind, but he let God do the work through him, and God was glorified. Adam had no knowledge of his own because he had just been created, but his soul was filled with the thoughts of God. Adam might have learned the role of each animal God created and knew they were connected to each other in some way to maintain the paradise in the Garden of Eden. The names he used might have been a clue to their functionality as God intended. It is sad that the theory of evolution replaced the true knowledge of creation in this last generation and gave new names to all the animals in the fossil record. This might not have happened if the church did not lose its saltiness. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is Genesis chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 16. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat," verse 17, "but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." The tree in the Garden of Eden that Adam was told not to take from was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge from this tree is independent from God and therefore independent from life itself, because God is the source of all life. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." Man does not believe that there is no life without Jesus. When Jesus comes back, he will start with a war-torn planet and clear up the mess at the end of the tribulation. Then he will turn the earth into a paradise again without an example garden. Jesus is the one who created the Garden of Eden, so he knows what animals and plants are needed and what they should do or not do. He will also be directed by the Father again to bring glory to God. Paul was speaking about Christ in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. I'm reading the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Everything that brings glory to God remains connected to him. Jesus is the mediator, submitted to the Father, and we submit to him by obeying the Spirit. Now those who are born again can function like Jesus did. The plan has not changed since creation. Man can still be an image of God on the earth, but only through obedience to the Holy Spirit. God is glorified in those submitted to Him who listen to His voice and follow Him. God will get the glory and fulfill His plan in you if you abide in Christ by making Him Lord. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. I'm reading the book of Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their own mind. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Thinking is dangerous. You are wasting time trying to understand the will of God with your mind. You first learn Christ by following Christ and being directed by the Spirit in everything, and this produces true holiness. He will also direct you to read the right Bible verses that will produce the right amount of conviction you need to grow spiritually. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. This is the book of Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Ambulance staff are trained to do some basic things when somebody's life is at risk. They're not doctors, but they can do what is necessary to keep someone alive by the grace of God so they can get you to the hospital as soon as possible and get a correct diagnosis. You have to be able to do your basics without thinking in order to help others and listen to God instead. You have to be consistent under pressure. If you want to help someone else, if you panic and get anxious trying to save someone else, then you have just got in the flesh. You are supposed to serve and help others to make Jesus their master through your testimony of following Christ as a disciple. Then the Father will correct any unbelief. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot come to truth using your own mind. You will also have to believe more lies to cover up the lies you already believed. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The first lie Eve believed was that by using her mind she could be good and become wise without God. You were designed to glorify God. Man prefers to believe that they can do everything without asking God. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Verse 15. Where it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the Amplified Bible, Hebrews 3 and verse 12 says this, therefore, be aware, brethren, take heed, lest there be in any of one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on him, leading you to turn away and desert and stand aloof from the living God. You first have to be tempted to do something you want based on what you desire for yourself before you depart from the living God. Coming out of his presence is an indication that you have unbelief. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The unbelief in your heart is fed by a desire of the flesh that must be removed by repentance. Secretly, you still have a desire for a life that is not serving God and dependent on what God supplies by his grace. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition, in chapter 1, on pages 6 and 7, Joseph Hedgecott writes, we also deny the power of God through our unbelief, while at the same time we elevate ourselves as if we have control over our lives and our futures. This is the foundation of humanism, and unfortunately this deception runs rampant among believers. The concept that you can control your destiny and evolve enough spiritually to make the right decisions and run your own life is a lie from Satan. Whenever you move outside of Christ, it doesn't matter what you accomplish. It has no real value. It may have temporal benefits, but it has absolutely no eternal value. There is nothing of real value outside of Jesus Christ and his Lordship. At salvation, you should have been confronted with the fact that everything you did without God before coming to Christ has no eternal value. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verses 13 to 20. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are temples of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17, if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You were sent here by God to do His will and help others and be a temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple is a place of repentance, and you should have testimonies that your life is changing every day by asking God. Jesus said to Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 26, I'm reading verses 16 to 18. This is Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The bad fruit in Paul's life was not hard to see. But he could not see it because of his religious works and the doctrines of the Pharisees. The Jews should have been leading others to repentance based on testimonies of correction and forgiveness. However, Paul was willing, like Peter, to be a witness of what God was doing in his life and not just bring another set of rules to follow. Paul said to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm reading verses 12 to 17. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen. People in church today are also blinded by good works and cannot see that we're supposed to repent of dead works. Grace was given to Paul because of his religious unbelief based on ignorance. However, Paul also said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, I'm reading the book of Hebrews chapter 10, I'm starting in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Verse 27. But a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries of God. If you are still resisting conviction, have no recent testimonies of overcoming the devil, you have another agenda. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, starting in verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? Paul had changed so much, he could even recommend himself to every man's conscience because of the way he was learning spiritually. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Some even have committed terrible sins trying to be righteous. The devil has trapped those with a heart after God through condemnation and guilt. Some believe God could never use them again, but Paul's testimony is there so that many could believe. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, 18 and 19, this is Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, on pages 43 and 44, Joseph Hitchcock says, God constantly chisels away parts of our lives that are not part of his divine creation in us. It is like Michelangelo creating the statue of a horse. He chiseled away everything that did not look like a horse. God is the same way. Everything in your life that he has done, he leaves in place and builds on. At the same time, he removes everything that is not what he ordained. He replaces the old you with the new you that is created in his image. God's plan includes being conformed to the image of his Son so that you can function in the kingdom now. You just need to abide in Christ through repentance and correction. Jesus continued in Luke 9 and verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Lose your life for Jesus and put your faith in God's power and his word, not on what is temporal or what can be seen. Jesus said not to be ashamed of his words. This is not just following doctrines and teachings, but this is following his commands and daily conviction and correction too by the Spirit. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. The bad fruit in Paul was actually helpful later because he saw all his attempts to be righteous in the flesh were vain. God can use anything. You may have received the Holy Spirit without realizing how wretched you were at first. You should have seen that there was nothing good in you. Paul went from a religion to a relationship, and he discovered God's grace that is available for him and also for all those who have a heart after him. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, you now have two trees in front of you, like Adam had in the garden. The tree of life represents the cross, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a life doing dead works. You have to choose between the cross and listening to your own mind. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The narrow way is only hidden to those who love their lives too much. The broad way attracts those who want to serve both God and mammon, but leads to destruction. The narrow way may mean some suffering now, but glory later. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. This is Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. To fulfill God's plan, Jesus had to suffer. People are willing to suffer and endure hardness to do something that they want to do in this life, but not for obeying God. God's plan involves suffering because you represent him, and the devil is the god of this world. Nothing can hinder God's plan, even the devil. It's only the unbelief of your heart that will hinder God's plan being fulfilled in your life. You can still be a channel of his glory by getting on the narrow way. Jesus is the image of the Father, and he overcame death, hell, and the grave by faith in God. He believed he could not die because he did the Father's will. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." Modern churches believe that someone who is born again will abide forever, but that is not what John says. You are supposed to be the image of Christ by denying yourself daily and taking up your cross daily through the gift of eternal life. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Do you see Christianity as just another religion? Or do you see Jesus on the cross, suffering, doing the will of God? Many do things out of the flesh, and it shows they did not repent of dead works in the beginning, and need to do their first works over again. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm starting in verse 22. "And many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?'" Verse 23. "Then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.' If you have started boasting in what you did, this is evil. You have departed from the living God. His kingdom is here now, and it's more real than what you can see. As long as you are really submitted to the Spirit and keep the flesh dead, you will have all the grace you need because you're obeying the gospel." Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Those who love God and obey him promptly do not need to know everything. In the kingdom, knowledge is on a need-to-know basis, like in the military. You need to be soldier-minded. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse 4. "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He is the commander, and he has the plan." Knowledge without the cross puffs up. It is better to focus on obedience, and knowledge will follow. For more information, please read chapter 18, Balancing Knowledge and Wisdom, in the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. You will get puffed up slowly using your mind. The devil will give you what you want and give you a scripture as well to justify what you want or need without asking God. Paul, however, said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Even if you are hearing God and doing great acts of ministry, this is evil if the Lord did not tell you to do it. Paul had a high calling, and he needed some help to stay humble and stay on the narrow way. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading verses 7 to 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Least I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The word infirmities in Strong's is number 769. It comes from another word which means feebleness of mind or body, by implication, malady, moral frailty, disease, infirmity, sickness, or weakness. The word reproaches is number 5196. It comes from another word meaning insolence or overbearing, that is insult, injury, harm, hurt. The word necessities is number 318. It comes from another word meaning constraint, literally or figuratively, by implication, distress, needs not being met, necessity, or being needy. The word distresses is number 4730. It comes from some other words which means just narrowness of room. That is figuratively a calamity, anguish, or distress. Those who've been changed and are working out their salvation and know there is no value in doing things based on their own reason and understanding. The things that Paul went through caused him to acknowledge the Lord rather than rely on his own mind. Paul rejoiced in whatever God used to keep him on the narrow way. Here is a list of 12 things that Paul rejoiced in based on Strong's definitions. Number 1, feebleness of body or mind or a disability. 2, an inability to think clearly or speak eloquently. 3, something slowing his movement down. Number 4, disease, weakness or sickness of any kind. Number 5, being unpopular, insults, and being wrongly accused. Number 6, harmful or hurtful statements when he was following Christ. Number 7, a situation that meant he had to do something consistently. Number 8, something that had to be done at a certain time each day. Number 9, persecution or prison. Number 10, a financial burden. Number 11, a calamity making things awkward. And number 12, narrowness of conditions or anguish. Paul ended up with more knowledge than he needed personally because of his calling to help the churches. To avoid getting puffed up, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. This thorn in the flesh was a demonic spirit that had the ability to rub or buffet Paul whenever he got in the flesh. But when he was in Christ, the demonic spirit had no access. Through this thorn in the flesh, Paul knew the difference between being in Christ and out of Christ. It was like night and day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Beware of leaders who do not warn the congregation and teach that everyone born again is in Christ, even though there is no fruit. We read in Matthew 12, verses 20 and 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, starting in verse 20. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Verse 21. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. This was written about Jesus, but God used Paul without him realizing because of his attitude and love for the truth. Paul had to write letters to those churches he could not visit, and later these became part of the Bible too. God was making use of Paul's willingness to endure, and as a result, millions of believers all over the world in the last generation have got answers through Paul since the New Testament was written. Paul had to suffer, but this was not the same as being exposed to the thorn in the flesh. Paul said in Romans 8, verses 35 to 39. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are called all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul knew that nothing could stop him from finishing his race. So he was excited to see what God would provide in terms of his grace or his supernatural power when he was submitted to the Holy Spirit. He did not assume that God would just do everything with his power, like some people preaching deliverance without repentance. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. It is sometimes very difficult to get a public audience today to listen to the truth. But Paul believed by faith that through an uncompromising stand, God was able to make sure that those following Christ do get that chance sooner or later. You also have a set amount of time to finish your calling. As you get older, time is running, so it's critical to stay in Christ. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. All those who are not in Christ when he appears, will miss the opportunity to rule and reign with Christ and be left behind. So you will also need to know if you're in the flesh or in the spirit. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. I'm reading verses 3 to 7. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 13. I'm starting in verse 3. And I say, one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Those who are not ready for Jesus appearing will end up fighting with the devil in the tribulation period, when the devil will have power to kill and destroy the saints. This is power that God allows the devil to have. There will be a steep learning curve for all those who have not learned to hear his voice. Using a prayer saying in the name of Jesus will not stop the devil from killing you during the tribulation period. However, those who listen to God will have access to all the wisdom they need in Christ. Jesus said in John 10, verses 27 to 30, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm starting in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. And I and my Father are one. Paul's approach was not to be comfortable now. Paul chose the narrow way and fighting the fight of faith, rather than fighting the devil in the tribulation period. You have to choose. He knew that God would make a way where there is no way. Jesus taught those seeking the narrow way in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When you cannot hear the Lord, then you should pray for God's will to be done and trust God for the food you need. Seeking food for the stomach can even distract you from what you need to do first. Make sure you forgive those giving you a hard time and pray for doors of opportunity to close where you are not ready. The kingdom belongs to God, so he can open them again when you are prepared, available and willing. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Cannot depart from evil if you are still using your natural mind. The purpose of God giving you a weakness is so that you acknowledge him When you acknowledge God, then he can direct you as your Lord, and you can depart from evil and overcome by grace through faith. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 and 34. This is Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Verse 34. For who had known the mind of the Lord, or who had been his counselor? The most foolish thing today is to see a believer giving God counsel on what he needs to do based on the situation that looks impossible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Paul knew what it meant to be a living sacrifice. Paul was not comfortable, but he was able to rejoice. He knew he had to be trained somehow, and he had no one to train him, apart from the law, which brought some conviction now and again. So he's happy for the challenges he had to face daily. Paul said in Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Unto the pure are all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Do not deceive yourselves. There is no excuse for not asking God in every situation and hearing God clearly on what to do in your personal life. See what happens when you embrace truth and conviction. In the book, The Supernatural Occurrences of Charles Finney, on pages 197 to 198 by Daniel Jennings, we read Charles' testimony. One evening I preached on confession and restitution, and it created a most tremendous movement among businessmen. One man told me the next day that he had been and made restitution, I think of £1,500, in a case where he thought he had not acted upon the principle of loving his neighbor as himself. The conscience of men under such circumstances are exceedingly tender. The gentleman to whom I had just referred told me that a dear friend of his had died and left him to settle his estate. He had done so and simply received what the law gave him for his labor and expense. But he said that in hearing that sermon, it occurred to him that as a friend and a Christian brother, he could better afford to settle that estate without charging anything than the family could afford to allow him the legal fees. The Spirit of God that was upon him led him to feel it so keenly that he immediately went and refunded the money. We have to be faithful in what we have and keep seeking truth if we want more. Spiritual knowledge or revelation does not precede faith in God and virtue, behavior based on high moral standards. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verses 4 and 5. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. A man came to Finney saying, I cannot hear God. What do I do? Charles answered by saying, God has given you a conscience. He did not say God gave you a mind. He expects you to use it, like the church leaders of today. If you ignore your conscience, then you will never hear more. All forms of communication are valid. we read in John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. You must keep seeking truth, or you will stop hearing God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. God is always there to help those who are truly seeking with no agenda. God has made it possible now so that anyone who has a heart after God can get the truth through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 4 to 7. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Jesus is the Word, manifested in the flesh. The life of faith is dependent on every word from heaven through the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus died. Christianity is not just another religion, it's a relationship with a living God. Do not go back to the law, as this is vain. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 6. I'm reading all the way to verse 10. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor wherever they affirm. Verse 8, but we know that the law is good, if any man use it lawfully. Verse 9, knowing this then, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Verse 10, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The word swerve in Strong's is number 795. It's from a compound of other words, but it means to miss the mark. Figuratively, to deviate from the truth, to swerve. The word vain jangling in Strong's is from other words which means random talk or babble or vain jangling. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit, daily, experience full salvation and freedom from sin through regular repentance, And I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today's message has been about a life dependent on His grace. We are supposed to live by grace, function by grace. Everything that God has planned in your life is supposed to come from Him. We're supposed to be dependent on His voice. The very thoughts in our mind should be coming from Him. We should be functioning under Him all the time. And the daily challenges, and even more on top, cannot stifle that plan. And the very answers we need should be there moment by moment as we take up our cross, as we deny ourselves. And my prayer for you and for all those listening to this message, that you will get on that narrow way and follow Him. Heavenly Father, I'm praying that those who are listening to this message, that Father, they will follow you. They will not pray for blessings and prosperity, but they will seek you for your perfect will to be done and finished in their life. No matter what calamity or difficulty they go through, that they will see your glory in the end through how you accomplished all that you wanted to do through them because they trusted in you to finish that race. And Father, they were not afraid of suffering. I'm praying for them right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below. This is on the video, either written out or via a link to our website. Also, our contact details will follow at the end of this message, so please get in touch with us if you know this message has changed your life. God bless you.